you will notice that you've got a ticket to his voice that's going to be starting next week, okay? Now, this isn't for you. Make sure you get a couple. Take two or three with you and use those as an invite to invite somebody. So we'll have some out there at the table. Out at the table, we've got some paperback Bibles. Those are free. If you'd like to have a Bible, you can have one of those. There's also a black little card for the 2017 theme. Make sure you get one of those. And there's some bracelets. If you want a bracelet, it says walk it out. And we're going to enjoy living our life for the Lord in 2017. What do you think? Huh? Now, every January, we kind of do a refresh. Let's go back and go through what we believe and what's our mission and our purposes. And many times we'll do it in creative, fun ways. And so we're going to have a creative, fun January. So invite some friends to come out with you. If you've got some friends that don't know Jesus and they're not connected anywhere and they need to be here, use that as an invite. Say, hey, you know, we'd like to invite you to come to church with us on Sunday. And it is going to be a fun and exciting time. Sound good? All right. Well, we're going to get in the Word of God this morning, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, and we will start in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is also on your on the mini poster. I call it a mini poster that you have with you. And it's rare that January 1 is actually on Sunday. And so some of you may have already decided, you may have made a resolution to never make a resolution. Maybe that was one of your resolutions. Or every year you think of something that you want to work on. And so what I want to do today is lay down a resolution that I myself, and hopefully you as well, can embrace and take it and say, I want to walk out my faith this year. I'm going to walk it out, okay? And we're going to let God's Word transform us to be molded into His image. What do you think? Can we handle that? All right, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, and I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We pray that you would speak to us, God, and we would hear you. Help us, Lord, to take this new year and every day live out our faith and walk it out for your glory. And so I pray, God, that you would just tender our hearts today. Help me to preach plain and clear. Lord, I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. So if you have that little black mini poster, you'll see that there's some resolution there. The resolution in 2017, which is the theme, you see it on the big back wall, the theme wall, is walk it out, that we're going to walk it out. And when we read there in 1 Corinthians 9, you notice that there are some action words that are there. He says a couple things. He says, "I discipline my body." And he says, "I keep it under control so that when I run the race, that I'm going to run it so that I may obtain it. I'm going to run to win." Now, somebody put on Facebook that obviously I was the one that came up with this year's slogan and not Michelle, because if she would have done it, it would have said, "Run it out." That kind of offended me. I don't know where they would get that. But we're going to run this race to win. How many of y'all like to be on a winning team? It's more fun to win than it is to lose. And he says that we need to run in such a way that we want to win. We want to win. We obtain, okay? So people will do extreme things for a trophy, right? for a championship. There are many athletes all around the world that will put their body through so much severe testing and trying just to win a national championship or a trophy or a title or whatever. He says that we do it not for an imperishable reward, not for a perishable reward, but for an imperishable one. How many of y'all realize that eternal things are better than temporary things? And so that's what we're striving to accomplish, the eternal. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. And I want you to understand and really look at some action words that are going on. Okay? Now, this year in 2017, we're going to take some responsibility for our actions. You ready? I know that's not popular, and we don't like to take responsibility, and we like to blame others for why we are where we are. But what we've got to realize is that it's our responsibility to walk out our faith. Now, those of you who've been with us for a long time, you know that I am an extreme believer in the sovereignty of God, that I believe that He holds all things in His hands. And He knows all things, and He has power over all things. I believe in the grace of God, the mercy of God. I believe in the gospel, okay? But we also believe in the responsibility of the individual. That you must choose to walk out your faith. I can't walk out your faith for you. You have to do it. Your spouse can't do it. Okay, my grandmother, she used to have an old saying, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You have to take responsibility for walking out your faith. And so as we look at Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 20, we will see every category that's on our list this morning that we're going to talk about, but one, hands, and I will use another verse for that. Now watch this. I want you to highlight, and I want you to make a mental note. If you don't have your Bible and you can't underline it, make a mental note, take a note somewhere, and look at the action that's going on. He says, my son, be what? Be attentive. That's something you've got to do. Be attentive to my words. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. That means listen carefully. That's something you got to do. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Now look at verse 23. What's it say? Keep your heart with all vigilance. That is something you got to do. You got to keep. I can't keep your heart. You've got to do this. For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. He says, ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Do you see that? Huh? Did you see all the action there that the individual must do? Incline your ear. Keep. Turn your feet. This is something you got to do. So look at your neighbor and say, I've got to walk it out. I got to walk it out. I've got to walk it out. Take responsibility. You've got to walk it out. No one can walk the walk for you. You've got to walk out your faith, right? And so my challenge, my hope, my prayer is that you will walk it out this year. Now, how are we going to do this? Now, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at our body. We're going to just take our mind. We're just going to go through some parts, and we're going to say in 2017, my resolution is going to be several things. You ready? First off, it says we're going to have a mind that is transformed by His Word. Okay. Now, if BJ, don't tell BJ to come and start playing. I'm going to go ahead and step down for a little bit and preach from down here just for a moment, okay? He says, let's be transformed by our mind. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, read this with me, if you will look at it with me as I read. Do not be what? To this world, but be by the renewal of your, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In order to have your mind transformed, you must be reading God's word. That's just the only way it's going to happen. Because I tell you what, Hollywood is declaring a message. Politicians declare a message. Athletes declare a message. Everyone's declaring a message in this world, and many of it is contrary to God's word. But if you don't know God's word, you're not going to know that they're out of bounds. True? You have got to know the word of God. You have got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the only way your mind's going to be renewed is by knowing God's word. You've got to know it. Now, we have out there in the water source, there is an ESV study Bible for $30. It's a hardback, $30. It's about as cheap as you can get it anywhere. It's one of the best study Bibles that's available. And we had six of them. I don't know if any of the first service people bought any or not. But we have six available. If you'd like one of those, you can get one of those. If we run out and we need more, we'll get more. You must become a believer who doesn't just say they believe the Bible, but they actually read the Bible. Okay? So, first resolution is that our mind is going to be transformed to His Word. Okay? How many of y'all say, I can do that? All right, none of us going to read our Bible this year. Oh, that's a bad deal. Here we go. We're going to have our mind transformed by His Word. And then, secondly, let's move to our eyes. We're going to have our eyes fixed on His cross. Our eyes fixed on His cross. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, again, this is something, an action we got to do, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, how do we fix our eyes on Jesus? We look at His cross. You see, when Jesus lived this life and He walked on this earth, He lived the perfect life that we never could live. And it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Now, the cross is not joyful. Agree? The cross was not a joyful experience, but there was something about the outcome of what the cross was going to accomplish that was joyful to Him. And what was that? Salvation. Redemption. And so because He knew that what He did on the cross would save sinners, for anyone who would call upon Him and ask for grace and mercy that they would be saved, He pressed on and went all the way to the cross. And so because I know that, I must fix my eyes to the cross. Because at the cross, that's where sin was defeated. At the cross is where I receive grace. At the cross is where I have mercy. At the cross is where I find my hope. At the cross is where I am victorious. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight. And now what? I'm happy all the day. It's at the cross. See, at the cross, I'm reminded of the high price that Jesus paid for my salvation. And then I realize that I must humble myself at the cross. I must die to myself at the cross. that I must maintain loyalty to my Savior who died for me on that cross. And so when I fix my eyes on the cross, I'm reminded every day of what Jesus did for me. And it helps me to live in a thankful, grateful, merciful way. Fix my eyes on the cross. Let's walk it out this year. What do you think? My mind transformed by his word. My eyes fixed where? On his cross. And what else? What's the next one on your list? Now, don't expect a mini poster for a sermon outline every week. My ears attentive to his voice. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, notice that they follow me. Now, this is a pretty neat verse because it has a couple of good things here. First off, it says, my sheep, we're his. Aren't you glad if you're a child of God, aren't you glad that he owns you? Huh? Aren't you glad that you're his sheep? That he knows you by name? And he says, my sheep, I know them, and they know my voice. Now, how are you going to know the voice of God? Well, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer. And the more we know the word of God, the more we recognize his voice. The more we obey his word, the more we recognize the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If I want to really live out my faith, then when the word of God tells me something that even if I disagree with it, because sometimes the Bible makes us feel guilty because we're sinning, and it points it out to us. And most people just close the book and say, well, that's a dumb book. I don't believe it. Instead of repenting and saying, God, I'm the one in the wrong. You're the one in the right. And when I begin to obey the commands of God through his word, guess what? My ears begin to get more in tune with the Holy Spirit. You see, the world is singing its own song and preaching its own message. True? If I don't know God's word, if my mind's not transformed and my ears aren't in tune with his voice, then I'm not going to know when the stranger speaks. I'm not going to be able to discern truth from error. And what we must have today in our churches across the nation are Christians who can discern truth from error. I believe that we are so gullible as a church in general that it's scary. We must be in tune with the voice of God. And you're going to do that through worship, prayer, and the study of God's word. That way, when you hear this Hollywood superstar who thinks that their opinion matters more than God's word, you can go, wrong. That's a lie. His word is true. Bottom line, it comes down to, are you going to believe God's word over man's word? If you don't know his voice, you're going to get conned every time. Next, so we have our mind transformed to his word. We got our eyes fixed on his cross. We got our ears in tune with his voice. Our mouth. Our mouth. Our mouth sometimes gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Huh? Our mouth. We have to have our mouth declaring his truth. Look at Psalm 89, verse 1. It says, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my what? Mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. You realize that we can use our mouth to bless or curse. Amen. And we got to be careful because sometimes we have a tendency to blurt out and say things and say things in a way that we shouldn't. Does anyone ever have that problem? Okay. The rest of you, you're just so great and holy, I guess, that you never have a problem saying something you shouldn't. So there's some ways. Here are some ways that we can use our mouth to glorify God. One is to speak well to others and speak well of others. Got that? Speak well to others and speak well of others. That means don't bash and trash and gossip and criticize people. And encourage and lift people up. It also, our mouth is used to declare the riches of grace. To be able to share our faith. To be able to invite someone to church. To be able to invite someone to a Bible study. To be able to simply invite someone and say, hey, would you come to church with me? How many of you all think you could handle that in the year 2017? Just using your mouth. I tell you what would be exciting is if I got all kinds of emails and phone calls saying, Grant, you're never going to believe it. At my workplace, my friend gave their life to Jesus. Wouldn't that be neat? Because see, I believe that you can use your mouth everywhere you go, that you can be a witness everywhere you go. Amen? And so we use our mouth to declare his good news. And then we need to move to our heart. You ready for our heart? So we got our mind transformed by his word, our eyes fixed on his cross, our ears in tune with his voice, our mouth declaring his truth, and now we need our heart beating with his passion. When Jesus gave his mission statement, when he went into the temple and he opened the scroll and it came to Isaiah, this is what he said he was about. You ready? Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is what Jesus says. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did you see what Jesus is passionate about? He's passionate about those who are oppressed or chained by the weight of their sin to be set free. He said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is passionate about those who do not know him coming to know him so that they may be forgiven and receive everlasting life. Now, if Jesus is passionate about that, you think his church ought to be passionate about that? Huh? Do you think we ought to care about friends, loved ones, people that we know that don't know Jesus, that they be saved? Huh? It is. It's important. We've got drug problems in our county. We all know that. Some of you need to have maybe husbands, wives, sons, daughters, to actually experience what that very first song we sang about, that the chain breaker, we need to see them be freed from the bonds of the addiction and the stronghold of the drugs in their life. Amen? Amen. Have y'all believe that the good news, that the favorable year of the Lord has the power to break those chains? That Jesus has the power to really give a new life. Now, do we believe that? Or is that just something we preach? Talk to me, church. You're sitting there looking at me like, oh, what's this? Like I'm speaking a foreign language. Do we believe that Jesus is the chain breaker, that he is the way maker? Do we believe that he is the one who can set the captives free? And so in 2017, guess what? Let's expect God to set captives free. What do you think? Huh? Let's let him do what he is passionate about doing. And let us be passionate about what he's passionate about. Let our heart beat with his passion. Amen? Our hands. Let's move to our hands. Our hands can either build or destroy. True? All right. Did y'all stay up too late last night? What was it, like New Year's Eve or something? I mean, what's your problem? Our hands can either build or it can destroy. Agree? And so, if you look at the last chapter of Romans chapter 16, I don't have that on the screen. This will be a little homework assignment. Go home and you'll look at Romans chapter 16. And it's a really neat closing. And some people would see it as maybe just, I won't read that, but it's very important to read because in chapter 16, Paul begins listing and giving thanks for his fellow workers. And he begins thanking individuals. Some of them, he says, you've almost given your lives because of me, and I want to give you thanks. And you've shared, and you've been my co-worker in the gospel. And in this list, what's so exciting about it is that there's men in this list, and there's women in this list who are co-workers with him in the gospel. Some of them, we believe, are husband and wife teams. And so what that means is, guess what? Everyone, every man, every woman who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity to build the kingdom of God and to be part of the gospel ministry. Isn't that neat? That every person has the opportunity to embrace the mission of Jesus and engage and carry out the work of the ministry. Now, I tell you, I want to brag on you all for a little bit, Living Water. There are many of you all who, if I was writing down a list and giving thanks, I could list a bunch of people and say, thank you. You are a co-laborer, a co-worker in the gospel. There'd be several women and several men that I could list, but many of you all. That you teach and lead Bible studies, or you lead small groups, or you pour into the children of this church, or you clean the building, or you work in building walls, or you just simply greet people as they come. And there's many ways you serve here, and you are a part of what God's doing. Amen. That ought to be the goal, shouldn't it? The goal of every believer should be able to say, man, I'm part of building the kingdom with my fellow brothers and sisters, not tearing it down. You know, there's too many people that want to tear it down. Satan wants to tear it down. What's bad is when Christians tear it down. So we want to build it together. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. He says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I tell you, I don't know what that does to you, believer, but that makes my heart leap for joy. To think of that we are working together, building together, side by side, and our names are in the book of life, and we are worshiping and serving our Lord. Our hands building his kingdom. Lastly, our feet. We got to go to our feet, right? Proverbs 4:26, it says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You see that? You have to take responsibility to where your feet travel. So, oh yeah, well, but they invited me. Yeah, but you still went. Well, I had good intentions. Well, that doesn't get you there. True? You have to place your feet on the path and walk it. Now, here's the deal. I can't walk it for you. Your mom can't walk it for you. Your daddy can't walk it for you. Your spouse can't walk it for you. You have to take responsibility to walk it out. You say, yeah, but I got blindsided. Yeah, there's pop-ups all over the place, aren't there? How many of y'all got a computer? That blasted computer, you'll be sitting there, you know, you've got a virus. I've got this software to clean it up, you know, and it'll come up or something, or some ad will pop up, and you got to make a choice, don't you? Either hit that red X and get rid of that pop-up, or you click on it. So in life, you'll be walking down a path, you know, your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you're walking. Bloop, 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 bloop. Things pop up all around us, right? Distractions. But guess who has to turn their head to engage those distractions? Who? You do. Bloop. You don't have to turn that way. You can keep walking. You just keep walking. Keep walking this path. Ponder your path. That word means make level. Make level your path. If you make your path level, you won't trip and fall. Who's got to do this, church? You got to do it. Nobody's going to do it for you. You got to walk it out. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to walk it out. Go ahead, tell them, I got to walk it out. I want you to own this today that I've got to walk it out. Now, God, by His grace, He empowers me to be able to walk it out. But you saw all those actions. Who's in charge of your mind? You are. Who controls your eyes? You choose what you look at. You choose what you listen to. You choose what you say. You choose what you do with your hands. You choose where your feet goes. So this year we're going to walk it out. Let's walk it out. Let's make a resolution that we're going to use our body. We're going to discipline our body. That's what Paul said. Discipline his body. Keep it under control. Why? Because here is what I hope to be able to say. If God grants me to live a long life, which I'm not sure if he will or not. We don't know. If I'm able to reflect before my death, which I don't know if that will happen. I'd love to be able to say these words before I die. That I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but all who have loved his appearing. And that's my prayer. I don't know if it's yours or not, but I want to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith.